Hey everybody, welcome to the Ann and After Show. It's me, Lindsay Loveridge. With me is James Beckett.
Yo.
Behind me is my suitcase. It's gone a lot of places. This summer, last trip coming up. Flying out to Anime NYC on Wednesday. So
the big finish.
The big finale for the con season. we're filming early. Just to make sure that we can get this show in here before fly out. And we've got a lot of stuff going on tomorrow, or at least I do, as far as like life stuff going on tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So we're here on a Monday. We are going to be talking about probably what I think is biggest news story to break recently, which is we have a ending date for the JJK manga.
So a very, very close ending date.
Very close ending date. There was small hints that, from the creator that this would be happening in the future. But I don't think anyone expected it to be happening this quickly, especially so soon after MHA just wrapped up. So
yeah, it's kind of like an end of an era. Because I mean, obviously, people always talk about what are the new big three, and I don't think we're ever going to have a Naruto, Bleach.
One Piece.
I was gonna say, was it One Piece? I guess One Piece or Dragon Ball Z, depending on which ones you were following at the time. Yeah. But we're never gonna get that era again, I don't think. Just with the way things are. But I mean, My Hero Academia is over, JJK is over. I wouldn't be shocked if at least the current arc of Chainsaw Man ends soon. I don't know if that's gonna be the end of the manga, but it definitely feels like the part two is building towards a climax. So
I have a couple chapters to catch up on that one. So we'll talk a little bit more about JJK here in a minute, but we're also going to touch on Yatagarasu, which is finally back.
Bird Show, I hope
no one forgot about it in its absence. Obviously, it took a couple weeks off when it switched for that half season break, and then it took 3 weeks off for the Olympics.
Yeah.
So kind of easy to like mind hole when your favorite show is gone that long, but it is finally back. So we're here to yell at you to remember to go watch Yatagarasu.
Please, then, God, watch Yatagarasu.
Please. Like the arc that they're building towards right now is super interesting to me. It's like completely different kind of mystery than last time, but still really interesting. And then we have Dead Dead Demons, Dead Dead Destruction. I have like a interesting note to add on that specifically. I didn't mention this to James regarding some of the issues with the show that we've talked about earlier. So we're going to touch on that. And that also, I mean, we got a lot of little hints about some things in this one, including the flashback timeline that we had gotten before, kind of more proving that this is some sort of alternate situation going on. And we finally saw what the aliens look like inside their little spelunker helmets. And it's weird. Didn't know what to expect, but still did not expect that.
The show is, I think artistically, just on like a direction level and art design level, this is one of the most impressive shows that I've seen in a while. Like,
yeah.
It just looks so good. And it's so consistent. There hasn't been a weak episode yet. Everyone should also watch Dead Demons, Dead Dead Destruction, because it's incredible. I think it's probably going to be very high on my end of the year list unless something crazy happens in the next 4 months.
Yeah, I mean,
we've got.
Yeah, it's definitely a good contender for one of the best anime of the year so far. And if I recall, the manga's over, so I think we will get like a decisive ending.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's exciting. Although there are some things that I have gotten the opportunity to preview coming out in October that are also pretty fucking cool. So we'll
Of course.
So, hi there from Tokyo, Japan. Hi there, Irene Akiko. Thank you for joining us. I guess it is like a reasonable hour in Japan right now to be watching our podcast. So
yeah.
Okay, so let's dive right into that news. So Jujutsu Kaisen, the manga, will be wrapping up in 5 chapters specifically on September 30th. So
wild.
Yeah, just wild that that's already coming to an end. I have not kept up with the manga. I'm an anime only, although a couple things have been spoiled for me. So I do know some upcoming things that are happening, as well as I knew some things happening in the Shibuya arc before they happened.
But kind of impossible to avoid the big one that I know we both know.
Yeah,
because it was just everywhere.
Yeah, it was everywhere. We're not going to spoil it for you here, for you other anime onlys, because we, you know, we're all friends here. We don't ruin anime for each other if we can help it. But yes, so the last chapter will be published in Weekly Shonen Jump on September 30th. I said earlier that this had kind of been hinted before. So the creator, Akutami, had said last year at the Jump Festa 2024 event, which was in December, despite it saying 2024, he wrote in a handwritten comment that this will probably definitely be the last Jump Festa where Jujutsu Kaisen is still in serialization. That proves to be true, because Jump Festa will be taking place again at the end of the year, and this will have wrapped up by then. So as someone, have you read the manga for this at all, James?
No, so it's interesting. My wife has. She's not caught up, but she's way farther ahead than I am. Because I'm anime only. And so I, as far as like what I fully experienced, it's just up to the end of the Shibuya arc. And my wife read a good significant way into like the big extended arc that comes after that. And she was keeping up with it for a while. And I know some specifics that she mentioned. I asked her not to give me too many big spoilers. And so she didn't. But it was interesting because around the time we were kind of getting a little frustrated with the Shibuya arc. And we were not loving the direction that the story was going in and the way it was handling certain things. And I was sharing it with my wife at the time, who was like, who started the Shibuya arc right around when we started watching it. And she blazed past me. Mm-hmm. And she was totally fine with the Shibuya arc. There were things that she also didn't like, similar to what we talked about. She didn't think it was bad or really disappointing by any means. I still remember it was maybe like a week or two after the season wrapped up. We were chatting just about what we've been watching and reading and stuff. And I asked her, "Oh yeah, like I know you've been keeping up with JJK like way past where I am. Like, are you still digging it?" And she just went, "No, it's gotten bad." I'm not evaluating that. She and I like very different things, especially when it comes to serialized manga. There are a few crossover titles like Chainsaw Man that we both love, but generally our tastes are actually pretty divergent. So I have no idea but I just thought it was so surprising because she was really like, she was pretty stoked about the Shibuya arc, all things considered. And I guess I was just thinking like, man, it seems like the manga can't really catch a break. And it didn't sound like it was that close to ending by what she described to me. Like, it didn't sound like it felt like it was going to wrap up soon. But maybe things have progressed a lot faster than I thought.
Yeah. I know that as far as what comes after the Shibuya arc, the arc itself is called the Culling arc. So, I mean, interpret that as you will. Our complaints with the series were mostly around like the power scaling mechanic talk that kind of permeated throughout the whole show and some of the pacing there. But I mean, I'd be lying if I said I'm not going to keep watching it. Like, I'll assume. Yeah. And for those wondering, the next season was already announced. We don't have a release date for it, but MAPPA is going to continue to animate the show. So, end of an era. We'll have to see what takes its place. As far as like other series currently running in Weekly Shonen Jump / Jump Plus, I've heard really good things about Ruri Dragon, but I still haven't. And that recently came back, although I haven't read that one myself. But the other one, and this is one where people should keep their eyes peeled for this anime once it premieres in October, is Dandadan.
Oh yeah,
which will have its first three episodes US premiere at Anime NYC this weekend.
My wife and I were just talking about this. We went to go see Alien Romulus. And we saw a poster for Dandadan in the movie theater, just like right next to all the other stuff.
Because they're gonna have a theatrical screening of the first three episodes in some limited theaters. It's called Dandadan First Encounter.
Yep.
So,
and I was just thinking, I cannot imagine going back to my high school self and saying, Someday you're going to be going to the movie theater and there'll be posters for Shonen Jump movie adaptations just hanging out right next to the Aliens and the Star Warses and all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah. For folks who do go see the theater version, or if you make it into the screen at Anime NYC, it's going to include some special content. I believe it's interviews with both the manga creator and the director and a couple other folks involved with the show. So it gives you some nice behind the scenes stuff there. But yeah, as a reminder, that's the Science Saru is also, they're doing the animation for it. And it is.
And that's really why I'm not good. Caught up with the manga, but I intend to. I don't think that's one where I can wait.
Yeah.
Because that manga is so good. It's so good. It's maybe my second favorite manga running right now behind Chainsaw Man. It's just incredible.
I read a bunch of it on the plane home from Washington, D.C., although I'm still not caught up because I had gotten to a point and then not read anything for a long time and was like, I have kind of forgotten some of the
same here. I need to start over. I need to start from.
Yeah. I did that with Chainsaw Man season 2 as well. Not that long ago. And I already feel like maybe I should just do that again. But with Dandadan, so I restarted it from a certain point. And then, you know, kind of like skimmed chapters I had already read before, just kind of like refresh, but I'm only about halfway through the currently released chapters. Like I'm around chapter 76, 77. And I think I'm going to catch up on it on the plane to New York.
Do it.
I want to be caught up for, I'm probably way past the point where maybe the anime will stop, I think, even within that many chapters, but, it's really, really good.
Do we know if it's going to be a 2-core or is it?
Do we know that? I feel like it's 1.
I feel like most are these days. Then we got to wait for like 6 months to see if it gets a second season.
Yeah. There is a new trailer, actually, an English sub trailer. Does everyone want to see the new English sub Dandadan trailer? This dropped yesterday. Or no, this dropped today.
You know I do.
Okay. So this is premiering on... I believe both Netflix and Crunchyroll on October 3rd, along with the Dandadan screening. Creepy Nuts, the band, is doing the opening song. Mm-hmm. I like them a lot, and they're also going to be at Anime NYC. So let me get this going because this is on X, and so I have to like kind of prep this a little bit. This is about 90 seconds of. Here we go. And this is Momo. She's like the main female character.
I love their dynamics so much.
Yeah, I do too.
Oh, yeah. This show's gonna rule. Yep.
Yeah.
I'm loving how they're translating the character designs.
Yeah. Everything about the show just like puts a grin on my face. It's so good.
The pervy aliens. Oh, I'm loving the transformation that they're doing.
Yeah. The monster, like the yokai and stuff, all look really cool too.
Yeah. Yeah, Dandadan is a really good tonic for if Chainsaw Man just makes you feel kind of depressed and sad.
Yeah.
And so it's a nice tonic, and it's on the Shonen Jump app finally, because that was honestly one of the things that
made it hard to read. You had to like open a browser to read it.
And who's got the time?
No, I mean I did it, but I did not enjoy the process. Digicheck, you can pay to get no ads on ANN. You can subscribe for like $1 a month, and it'll get all the ads on the website. Just FYI.
It's like the same price as a New Yorker subscription, which is also super affordable.
I didn't know you can get the New Yorker for $1 a month. The New Yorker did not pay for me to say this. I didn't know that.
Yeah. I think it's like $1. I just got their tote bag in the mail.
You pay $1 a month and they're giving you tote bags?
Yeah. Although that might be a teacher deal. I might have had to put my teacher email in there. So.
Okay. Well, anyway, so that's Dandadan. Super hyped for it. Let's get into some of this anime talk. We're going to start with Yatagarasu because despite it being a lot of table setting for really compelling mystery, we probably will still have more to say about Dandadan.
Yeah.
Or not Dandadan, sorry. Day to day.
I've been doing the same thing in my head.
Yeah.
It's too many D's.
Too many D's. All right. So Yatagarasu, where we last left off, we had Yukiya and the prince about to enter into this house in sort of a rural area in the northern territory where Yukiya is from, to discover that everybody inside is dead and they've been eaten by this giant monkey.
Giant spooky monkey.
They make quick work of the monkey, only to discover that someone who appears to be a survivor is also a monkey. And they
The monkeys walk among us.
Yes, yeah. They do. So this entire part I found really interesting because it introduces a whole bunch of stuff into the world building of Yatagarasu. Like one, despite the fact that these are like supernatural beings unto themselves, they have their own myths about these supposed, like the monkey people in the forest, I think were kind of like a urban legend.
Yeah. The prince called, I guess everyone at court's been calling them tall tales.
Yeah.
The prince is like,
So they now know that they're real, but it's just funny to me that they're like, yeah, we're transforming crow people, but the concept of transforming monkey people, come on guys, who believes in that, right?
We find out now that like they kind of held that as sort of a facet of what made them special. Like they're the ones that can turn into humans. That's what makes them different from all the other presumably weird giant animals that live in this world.
Yeah. I mean, up until this point, we've been sequestered into Yatagarasu society only. So we don't really know, like, and they have their own country. So, I mean, you can assume that there are other countries with maybe other types of beings. Maybe humans actually exist here, but we're just like not looking at them at all.
Well, I had a wild thought watching this episode. I don't think it's true.
Okay.
But I was thinking, because they know what monkeys are, like,
yes,
like it's not like the monkeys are so foreign that people are like, what's a monkey, you know, like they know what monkeys are. It's the fact that they're big and they eat people and they turn into humans
human form. Because they're familiar with like bears and other animals.
So then I was thinking, well, if the bears can attack people, and the thing that got in my head was that, like, proportionally speaking, the monkeys and the birds are like the sizes that they would be if they were just regular animals. Mm-hmm. And then I was thinking, are the Yatagarasu like just regular ass birds that transform into like tiny humans?
No.
Everything in the world like bird sized?
No, is that what's happening? No, James. We've been watching like court intrigue play out and the birds are like this big and they're just wearing their little coats, Thumbelina style or something. Yes.
Like a regular sized person, like just wearing regular ass clothes, and they're like, look at this world of bird people. Is that gonna be the twist?
And like a diorama, like it's gonna zoom out eventually. Yeah. This is in some diorama and like a museum or no.
Oh, that'd be so good. I do love, you mentioned this before. I love that this feels nothing like the court drama intrigue.
No.
Like it feels like a different show. It feels like oh my god, what was the Undead Girl Murder Farce?
Yeah.
It's giving me those vibes of just like supernatural mystery hunting.
Yes, because this episode, like this is setting up for, I mean, it still has some elements of political intrigue, but now it's like anyone among them could secretly be a monkey because they human form all the time. These nobles don't transform in front of people into their crow form hardly ever, so any of them could actually secretly be a monkey who's like, and they, it feels like there's like a bigger intrigue plot connected.
And it has to tie into this weird drug plot somehow, right? That's connected. We just don't know.
Ring maybe in this episode, like we saw this really ominous large bald man.
Yeah.
and they played the spooky music whenever he showed up, so we know that he's scary.
Yeah,
but yeah, there's like a drug cartel that they've sort of elaborated on, so it's not just this one dealer like going about. It seems like there's like an there's a Yatagarasu organized crime ring, and then we have the monkey people invading in. And again, like, this doesn't seem like it's some one-off sort of wild creature coming in, because they talk about how they actually have some level of they were preserving some of the meat and like salting it and everything. So it does seem like there's some sort of society here. It's not
the term that Yuki uses is like they're hunting us for sport. Like they're enjoying this. They're planning this. You know, they're drugging us. They're targeting the women and children first. Like, this is like some kind of weird ass, like monkey underground society or something.
Yeah.
Which is so cool. It's like Invasion of the Body Snatchers meets The Thing. Like, it's so
cool. Yeah. Yeah. I love that they added the shape shifting part for the monkey so that it can add that element of distrust among everyone there. Like, one of the lords could have be a monkey and been like laying the groundwork to root out the Yatagarasu on like the fringes and start an actual, I mean, this could be a conquering sort of thing. Like, we don't know.
It's why Yukia doesn't trust the merchant girl that they rescued.
I don't trust her either. And I have a good sense of instinct, I feel like.
You do. Yeah. Well, although it's funny though, I did find it. I love how, even though this feels so, in many ways, like divorced from that first story arc. Like, you could start watching the show from, like, two episodes ago, and you could probably keep up just fine. But I love that. I think a big kind of recurring thing of this arc is the way that Yukia has been affected by his time at the court. He's become more suspicious. You know, the whole time he's like, you're just going to let this innocent-seeming, sweet, pretty, attractive, nice girl.
My age.
You know what that's a recipe for? That's a recipe for some weird ass murder, because I saw it happen. I watched it go down.
It's definitely always
the nice ones that turn out to be the serial murderers.
I'm suspicious of her specifically because she's acting, in my opinion, weird about her dad's death. Maybe there's more time gap, and that's what's throwing me off. I mean, she did seem genuinely upset when she was in jail and first found out. Yes. But, like, she does not seem particularly upset by the time that she's moved into Yukia's household and is doing their laundry. But
I mean, I think you could read it as her being, like, maybe more stoic, more guarded, right? I do agree that I don't think her reaction to the dad presumably dying or at least disappearing, it doesn't seem framed as plausibly insincere as a homegirl from season one who, you know, we kind of clocked fairly early on, like, oh, she's hiding something. I agree that she is, Kome is hiding something here.
Yeah.
But I think like we get the flashbacks to them partying. It doesn't seem like she's, I would have a harder time believing that she faked that reaction based on what we've seen. Like, that would, I would find that to be maybe a little cheaper than the way that they played out the last deception. Plus, if you do that twice in a row, it kind of starts to lose the luster. So I feel like whatever twist is hiding there, it's going to be even weirder and more complex.
Here is Lindsay's prediction that we can follow along through the second half of the season. I think her dad was a monkey. I think she's a Yatagarasu. I don't think he's her real dad. She doesn't know her mom, so it seems like there may be, like, as far as who she's been raised by. He knew that the monkeys were going to come in, like, after they got everyone.
He was, like, a good monkey, and he was, like,
I don't know if he was a good monkey so much as he was a monkey that couldn't, like, stand up to his superiors or whatever. Like, they talked about them poisoning the food or, like, drugging the food. I think he drugged everyone with the sake. He put his adopted daughter into the crate after she passed out so that she wouldn't be found and killed. And then the other monkeys came in and killed everybody. That's what
I would bet money that that's exactly how it's going to play out. I'd bet money. And not just because you are provably right all of the time, even though you are. That also just feels very, like you said, the specific details of, oh, I don't have a mom. It's always just been the two of us. Yeah. We happen to be merchants dealing with like food and, you know, how did everyone get, you know, yeah, that all, the breadcrumbs are definitely there. Plus we don't have as much time in the season for like a crazy protracted mystery. So they're going to have to like kind of speed up the reveals, and that makes perfect sense.
Why am I not a professional supernatural detective? Yeah. Why is that not a job that I can just have?
Yeah. Or anime studios, if you want, we'll write some scripts for you. We'll make it happen. You know, we can work. We know the game.
Yeah, we know what's going on here. So we do have like that part. Also, as to what you're saying about being able to jump in at this point, you totally can. They even keep the like title cards for all reintroducing all the characters in this episode. Yeah. Like, hey, in case you forgot, this is so-and-so. And that's, here's his position, you know.
Remember when TV shows like planned on lasting for more than a season?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I saw the news of like The Acolyte getting canceled.
Oh yeah. I saw that right before the show.
I had no skin in the game. I didn't watch The Acolyte, but I'm just sad that like these days, if a show gets four seasons, that's like a miracle at this point.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I mean, we grew up in the era where you could have like a whole decade of Seinfeld, and that was just, you know,
guys, that 70s show was on TV forever. Yeah. And its only gimmick was it takes place in the 70s.
Yeah. We had 10 years of Two and a Half Men. Like,
yeah, we watched that kid grow up.
Unfortunately,
for and Charlie Sheen have a whole meltdown.
Yeah.
And they kept making that show. They just replaced him with Ashton Kutcher. Anyway, yeah. So just really interested to watch how this all this bird stuff plays out. Anima Lilium says, didn't her dad during the party say to her something along the lines of, quote, things will be better now, end quote, hinting he was part of some deal going down? I may have missed that, but
I think I missed that.
I may rewatch and go see. Yeah. I am curious just more about this monkey business and where things are gonna go from here. I wonder if we'll see what's her face again.
The prince's girlfriend.
Yeah, because they still have to get revenge for their parents.
They do.
They still have to get revenge for their parents, and that doesn't have anything to do with these monkeys or the drug cartel, as far as I know. Maybe that's like second season.
Please, I could watch the show for like forever.
Yeah,
especially if they keep like of every mystery. And I've read, because the light novels are done.
Yeah,
And I've read some comments from people that have read the light novels, that have said that every novel is completely different. Like,
wow,
they're all like totally different, like tones, themes, even though it's all one story, right?
Yeah.
And I love that. I love it when shows can do that, when it's like the same thing over and over.
Yeah. I'm trying to think if there's any weird stuff that happened that we didn't touch on, but I think we kind of got to it all as far as
Is it I feel like it's probably both sad and predictable that even though I'm sure that Komei has some kind of like knowledge and involvement in this horrific cannibal monkey murder plot. But you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I still want her and Yukiya to smooch. I feel like they're cute. I like them.
You like them together. You like their, I liked their interaction during the laundry and how he was just,
I don't know how to talk to a girl my age. So instead,
Make me talk to her.
And mom's like, son, I'm going to get you a girlfriend. I swear.
Swear to God.
I'm making this happen. I will take in this orphan and you will marry her. His mom is so funny. I love her.
Yeah.
She's like, I mean, you could always look after her if you're that concerned. Anyway, bye.
Yeah, anyway, bye. Oh, that did remind me of one thing that the prince says, is that he knows she's a Yatagarasu because he can't harm her. Do you remember?
Oh, right.
Which was also kind of interesting. Like,
yeah. Maybe that's like a Kinu thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Still haven't. I did think it was weird how they made such a big deal out of her, you know, whether or not she can take on bird form. Mm-hmm. And then it's just like off screen and they're like, well, yeah, she could turn into a bird.
They showed like some feathers in her cell, so it's like,
oh, okay,
maybe they made her do it, and but they didn't bother to make us watch her transform to prove it or something.
I mean, I guess if, for them, if it's like super intimate, I guess, you know, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Although now it just makes you feel like Yuki is just like, I mean, birds don't have dong, so I can't say hanging dong, but like do it, that Yuki is just like flashing the entire bird core every time he transforms.
Yeah, yeah, because like, he was, because he was like, what's the big deal? We're all birds. Yeah, when they showed the court like preparing for war and stuff, and it's like it's got all the people and they're all walking and there's just one dude right on a crow, and I can't help it every time, like, that's another human.
I know. I got the same thing. I'm like, fuck.
It's still freaking weird, you guys, that you've got indentured people and you're just riding around on them when you... Anyway. Okay. So yeah, I think that about does it for that. We'll be waiting in anticipation for the next episode.
No more delays. Already. So
no more delays. I mean, besides like unforeseen circumstances.
I mean, hopefully the 3-week Olympic break gave them some. This episode looked good.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that maybe that extra time gave the animators an opportunity to see their families, pay some bills, you know,
yeah, rest
their tendons so that their wrists don't snap in half.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. All right.
Let your animators go home, please, studios. Just let them go home.
James' desperate plea on their behalf, please.
Unionize, guys. I promise it can work. There are more of you than there are of them.
Please. All right. Moving on to Dead Dead Demons, Dead Dead Destruction. Things are getting, I mean, we've been saying this, but things are getting wild. First question I have to ask you, do you think Kadode slept with her teacher? Please, no. Yes?
No, I don't think so.
You don't think so? You think they just like cuddled?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think she was lying when she said that we did it and then I got dumped.
Yeah, I think so too.
I know, but with this show, I feel like, I mean, I know that a lot of Japanese media loves to be coy about that stuff.
Yeah.
And they like to be very ambiguous and all that. I mean, the fact that they held hands for an extended period of time in a bed, I mean, for anime, that's... That I felt a little like I needed to turn away. That was a little too NC-17 for my taste. but I will say, a teacher's still a crumb bum and a jerk. Don't like him. But I appreciated that. I think the show gave him just a teeny bit more nuance here.
A little bit.
Like, he at least seemed, he seemed less like a guy who exists to just kind of suck.
Yeah.
And more like a complicated guy who happens to suck, you know? Like,
yeah, it's got zero riz though, man.
No, I don't understand what she sees in him. He's like boring and schlubby and he doesn't ever have anything interesting or charming to say.
No.
Is it just that he kind of like paid attention to her when she was a student and that she kind of
feels like that.
Yeah, because she's always like, I love that you're such a serious person. And he's like, what are you talking about?
Serious about what?
He's the least serious man in the show.
This man is...
And Oran's brother's right over there.
Yeah.
Like, still, I don't know.
Yeah, he's kind of a weird dude, but he has way more riz than Sensei or whatever.
I think he totally could have landed that one girl that he was kind of catfishing.
Oh, yeah, yeah, to return like, her tickets or whatever.
But like, you know, I mean, there's a reason that girls... in some timeline or another, just straight up threw their panties at his face.
Yeah.
That guy was born with the riz.
Yeah.
He was raised in it.
I don't know about that. Have you seen his dad?
Yeah, that's true.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. So that's like a small subplot that's going on. We did not see any more of the doohickey this episode. So I guess we'll have to wait till next week to see what is going on with that. And this was mostly a beach episode of sorts, yeah. Right? So,
like a beach episode in the sense that if you knew the world was going to end relatively soon, you'd probably want to go to the beach with your friends,
right?
If you've got nothing better to do, and you know, I think something I love about this episode is, I think it absolutely makes sense, and in some ways, it kind of feels like it's happening a little bit even now, but like. even when like impending disaster and doom is like right on the horizon, people can still be bored. You know, people can still be like, oh my God, what do we do?
Yeah.
Let's go to the beach.
Yeah. Yeah. So they go, and the reason they go to the beach is part of the supernatural college club deal. And so they all go, including Futaba and Makoto go. And Futaba says she's not going to stay the whole time. And I assume that's because for the latter half, she's got to.
She's going to do some terrorism.
She's going to do some terrorism for she's real.
She's definitely going to commit an assassination.
Yeah. It's like, oh my God.
She's going to try. And then she's going to get like shot by the military. And then
I'm really worried about her. I'm not going to lie.
My bet is that the sad soldier guy mm-hmm. is going to be involved in this. This yeah. just feels like these are the B plots that are meant to converge.
Yes.
As everything else is like getting, you know. He's going to like have some change of heart, but then she's going to like be about to doohickey someone to death. And that's when like the invaders are going to come and they're ironically going to kill the people that are protesting on behalf of their rights.
Oh my God. That would be so fucking cynical though.
Of course. That's why it's, I mean, I will say, not to bounce around too much, but it's so interesting. I love how complicated this show is because we also got confirmation that these guys were here to invade.
Yes. Well, sort of, right? So what we find, what they're alleging is that they were actually here before humans. Yeah. So like they're advanced enough to a point where they left long before we were here. And then they decide to come back. And the Oba, who's the alien inhabiting the dead idol's body, says pretty frankly, like, well, yeah, we assumed you guys weren't intelligent. So we were just going to enslave you for labor.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, they're not like.
And he feels bad about it. He recognizes that that's not cool now.
Yes.
He's
yes.
like, I know now that you guys are generally pretty sweet and also kind of dumb, but not the kind of dumb that would make it right for us to enslave you.
Right.
Just the kind of dumb that makes you a little defenseless and helpless and doomed.
Yes. So, I mean, so like it's not like they were just like, hey, we're exploring and our ship broke down, which was kind of the vibe I had in the earlier episodes. It was like, or that they were moving in and yeah, didn't think much of humans and then, you know, got a flat tire.
Equipment. And we got a hint of that a little bit, like when they're like, oh, like, I can't wait to have a human for a pet.
Yeah.
But you would think the minute they saw the skyscrapers, and I get it, they're super advanced. Their definition of what makes things advanced is different. But the minute something can build a skyscraper, I feel like, you know, in forced labor, domestication, that's kind of off limits, right?
Well, I mean, have you ever seen a beehive?
Yeah, but that's different because I don't think the bees care where their beehive is.
Well, no, but I'm just saying, like, we look at a beehive, which is a highly like structured looking living environment full of worker bees. And then we're like, hey, we can just have them build that inside of a box we made and then harvest their honey.
Sure. And you know what? I mean, if aliens are doing that to us, I don't know how, like, you know, that wouldn't be the worst thing, right? If we still got to do our thing.
Yeah.
Whatever that
happened to be.
Yeah. But if like a bee came up to me and said, hey, I'd love to build my beehive here because, you know, it's my family's ancestral territory. And, you know, we have a really rich emotional connection to our culture here. I'd be like, oh, of course. I'll never eat honey again. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm sorry for everything.
Also, the bee is voiced by Jerry Seinfeld.
God damn it. Of course.
Of course it is.
And then the bee is going to try to steal my wife because that's the plot of that film. God, that movie's insane. That movie. I'm sorry. We got on a B movie tangent.
Yeah, we got a B movie tangent. I had to as soon as the B started talking. That was exactly where I went. So yeah. So they go to the beach for this episode, right? All of them, including Oba, go there, and they meet up with two girls, one short, one tall, and they are sexy, according to Oran. You know, like.
Yeah. And babe alert is what she
babe
said.
Babe alert. We've got hot girls over dub? Here.
I love her role in the English dub. It's so funny.
Yeah. And we find out that instead of Oran and Kadode finding that alien, those girls found it instead.
Yeah. And so I was like flip-flopping back and forth because my first thought was, oh shit. like we're in a totally alternate universe, and these girls naturally just kidnapped and tortured the alien instead of making friends with it. But then I was like, wait a minute. Could it just be that there were like other scouts, you know, that like all came down at roughly the same time? But then with all the talk of time travel, no, I think you're absolutely
right. I think it was the exact same one, because they said it was 6 years ago. The girls mentioned that they were at that summer camp study school. So it's the whole, it's the same exact place, same exact timeline. But they
and when I saw the ship, I was like, oh, that's the same ship.
It's the same ship. And Oba elaborates, oh, that was probably one of our investigators. So he was probably sent down to see if the place was habitable or whether the humans were smart, you know, intelligence level or whatever. And it seemed like they said he escaped like after 3 days of them having him in that tunnel. So, I mean, his only interactions with humans supposedly were maybe like two dumb kids. And that would explain if he made it back, he probably just told them, yeah, everyone there is little and kind of, you know, dumb or whatever. And we can just move on in there. And that led to the situation we're in right now.
So is it going to be that the only way, because again, dead demon, like we talked about this, is the only way for the timeline to be saved for Kadode to die? Like, is that going to be?
I don't know if it's for Kadode to die or if it's for like,
is that the timeline where the scout goes back and says, hey, we can't take this place over?
Yeah, because if they get a hold of any kind of power, they just start killing each other, or they have murderous intent or whatever, because he sees the capabilities of them. Yeah, I don't know. But it seems like, at least in one timeline, that's what happened. Also, just a side note, all of I just realized that the mothership looks like a lid to a pot. It has like a whole handle and stuff on the top of it. And then
that's very footy cooty. Like, that's, I love that. Yeah.
And just like the other one from the past looked like a crumpled piece of paper. Like, I don't know what's going on. Yeah. Just something weird that I noticed. But yeah. So we also, Oba and Oran seem to, they got lovey feelings for each other.
They straight up kiss. That's even more NC-17 than the hand holding teacher stuff.
Yeah, they smoochied. But so I mean, that's a cute like kind of development that's happening. Not sure where that's gonna go. We found out that the stadium that they built is literally a spaceship.
Yeah.
That they're hoping to like just abandon Earth with a whole bunch of people on. It's called Ocean. Yeah. And he like gave a card to a teacher's former girlfriend / PR lady. And
it's literally the plot of that Roland Emmerich movie 2012, where like the world's ending and all the rich people make an ark they're just gonna ride it out.
That's also the plot of Promare.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Promare, man. Now there is a movie I haven't thought about in a hot minute.
Yeah. Yeah. Good film. What else was, and it's run by an AI called Plankton, which is extremely funny to me as a SpongeBob aware person.
Well, and we just have like a sentient AI running like a billionaire funded space arc for humans, which would in any other anime be like the plot.
Yeah.
And that would be like the setup for the show.
But and this is like one, a C plot.
Like, yeah. You know, it's just happening in the background. It'll amount to something, but you know.
It will, because it's like bonded with the PR lady and refers to her as mother. So if there's any, if she has any kind of, she could thwart it. Like, it'd be very, go ahead.
Oh, well, I'm just saying, I would love it. I want to see more of her. That's the one character where I feel like she keeps showing up and we're supposed to think she's important. And obviously now that she's inadvertently become the mother of this, I'm spaceship assuming
AI.
Yeah. And you know, it's probably going to go the system shock direction, but I she needs an episode. I think I want to get an episode with her before.
Yeah. Yeah. Like a focus episode.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So we have that going on, which is all really interesting. And I guess spoiler reveal, we get to see what the aliens actually look like. We mentioned this earlier, so I'm going to show a screenshot because like I said, had no idea where they would go with it, and yet still didn't expect the what movie did we say, James?
Fantastic Planet.
The Fantastic Planet lookalike. So we finally see under Ova's human form, and we also see the same face inside one of the dead aliens that Ova rescues in this episode from Riho's deranged former boyfriend. But yeah, he's blue.
Yeah. Now, of course, they also look very humanoid.
Yes, at least from this bit, they do look very humanoid, still kind of childlike. Reminds me vaguely of the kid from The Grudge, but blue, that little peak there. But James and I were talking off camera about how the shading around the sides of the face, how it's so dark like that, and the stippling is very reminiscent of Fantastic Planet.
Yeah.
And just how they were drawn. The eyes
like
aren't.
Like something out of like a Terry Gilliam animation from one of the old Monty Python movies.
Yeah, yeah. The other thing that I mentioned to James, and this might just be like a random observation, but the shade of blue reminded me of the same color that's used to denote like divinity in Hindu art. Mm-hmm. So
there's so much cross-pollination between Hinduism and Buddhism.
Yeah.
In artwork, I have to imagine that there's something there. Like, that's not, you know, there's a reason that those colors have become so significant.
Yes. Yeah.
I love it whenever an anime uses like a different texturing, different, almost like cross medium, you know?
Yeah.
Like the witch domains in Madoka Magica. Like, yes. I love that stuff.
Yeah. It's a way to like the fact that the shading and stuff is so different for the underneath face. It does like immediately add a bit of eeriness because you see it and it's like, that's out of place because it looks like nothing else around it. So yeah, I really like how it was used there. I think if you watch the episode and see the deceased alien, maybe you get a whole face.
You get like more of a face. You see like the nose and the mouth.
Yeah.
It also looks pretty humanoid.
Yeah. Yeah. It looks pretty human. So, so Oba here reveals himself to Makoto, and that felt significant to me because Makoto wears a wig and like presents in a feminine way to others. But then we have Oba reveal himself underneath. And then later in the episode, Makoto takes all that off so that he can go swimming and like takes his wig off and everything. And I don't know, also the way Makoto reacted to the reveal just felt a little different than like how everyone else did. It kind of, I don't know if like I'm reading too much into it, but it definitely felt like almost a bonding moment of like, not just sharing a secret, but secrets that have a bit of similarity to them.
Oh no, I agree. Well, I mean, right before that, there's the line where when Makoto says that they don't want their wig to come off.
Yeah.
And Oba has some line where like, you could just take it off before you go swimming. And Makoto's like, well, you wouldn't understand, you know?
Yeah.
And so that is very, like, very much the show, like, pointing out that for Makoto, even though Makoto, at least in the English dub, does still identify explicitly as male. Like, he refers to himself as a guy. He says, you know, we're one of the guys, right?
Yeah.
But there is still this sense that, like, the way that you are presenting yourself to the world for Makoto is a part of who they are. It's not just as simple as, oh, well, it's just a wig, take it off. Like that would be like taking a part of themselves away. Right.
Right.
And when Oba later on, right before he kisses Oran, he has that moment where he says, I don't even know anymore if I'm an invader or not.
Yeah.
And Oran's like, well, obviously you are, you can take off your freaking head. And he's like, yeah, lol. Which I love that little.
He's like picked that up like he picked up chat speak or something. Yeah. He's just saying like the chat speak for lol, the Japanese one, which I think is like wawa or something like that.
But it's very much like, you know, he's also like kind of expressing like I'm becoming more human. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily like not biologically, but I am, you know, I am empathizing with you. I am understanding you. I'm falling in love with a human.
Yeah.
And that is changing who I am.
Yeah.
Even though like what I am on the inside hasn't, you know, physically changed.
Yeah.
The person that I want to be is more than that. right?
Yeah.
And I think so much of that, I mean, I'm wondering if the big kind of reveal, or if a reveal is going to be that these invaders are just humans.
Oh. You know,
that they're just humans. And maybe this is like a billion years in the future, and like humans went off into space, did weird space stuff, shrank and turned blue because whatever, space stuff.
Yeah.
And then, you know, like in some stories when like, you know, the Earth gets enough time to rebuild itself, it just does the same thing again. It just is another Earth, right?
Yeah.
And I wouldn't be surprised if the whole thing at the end is like, it's just been humans killing humans.
Oh, yeah, right. Like, yeah, like, it could very easily be that too, when we have the time situation going on. I did want to like also shortly note before we end that we do see the return of the language translator thing, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But he's using it to talk to was it a dog or a cat?
Yeah, it was a dog.
Dog. So he's putting it on this dog so he can talk to the dog and the dog understands him, and then the dog can give him like profound like advice when other people aren't around because he can understand the dog.
Yeah.
Which
now, in the I guess the dub titles, the subtitles.
Yeah.
Is it switching up the translation where, because now what they're doing in the English dub, which I think is really cool, is that they are having scenes where the humans are speaking unintelligible gibberish.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. So when you're in Oba's perspective, and he like will hear the newscaster on TV, or in one case, it was an alien being attacked by Riho's crazy ex-boyfriend and stuff.
Evil Gegegeno Kitaro.
Yeah, yeah, he can understand the alien, and that's translated. But right with the humans, it sounds like a like kind of it sounds vaguely Japanese, but still sort of like distorted.
Yeah, or like reversed, or like
yeah, something like that. Yeah, which is a very cool effect. Did they do that in the English dub? Mm-hmm. Like recreate it with English, or does it still sound like it's Japanese?
It sounds like it's the English dialogue.
Okay, that's like, cool. Yeah, that they went through with doing that. Yeah, yeah. So there's still like all these threads kind of hanging in the background, but like we were talking, it feels like this could go so many different ways. Like there are parts that feel like, okay, you know, there's definitely going to be some kind of confrontation between the PR lady involving that AI, like unless they just drop the ball, right? There's got to be something with Futaba and the gun and the doohickey and the head of CES. And there's going to be something with the aliens coming together and leading a revolt against their treatment. And there's going to be something about whether Oba can, break into the mothership, where there's two factions at odds with each other, just like the protesters on Earth, mm-hmm. of whether to surrender in hopes that they'll quit killing them, or just attack.
Yeah. And the timer has helpfully reminded us we have 1 month left until
everyone dies. Until life on Earth is over as we know it. Have they elaborated whether that would include like the alien? Like, is it a suicide mission for the aliens?
So I know in the dub, when the one alien dies in front of Oba, he says this was intended as a suicide mission. They just didn't tell us. They probably sent us here knowing it was a suicide mission. But I think even last week, the aliens have basically been saying like we can't leave, and when this ship blows or whatever happens, like we're all dead. And at this point, because that's what they were arguing about, is like, why would we waste time trying to make peace if we know we're all gonna die in a month? What we need to do is like fight for our dignity. Like we might as well go down swinging. And so that's the conflict that's happening with the aliens.
Yeah. It's all related to like a reactor in the spaceship, but it sounded like there may actually be a way to diffuse or do something to that reactor that would prevent the mass death.
I think so. The reading I'm getting is that the aliens have basically assumed there's nothing they can do because everything is broken and their numbers have dwindled. And I think maybe what we're supposed to be sort of getting from it is that if they actually just communicated with each other, the humans and the invaders, and like explained what the hell was going on, they could probably at the very least work together to figure out some way to solve this.
Yeah.
But both sides have basically assumed that's just an impossibility. Wow. They're not even like considering it. And so the aliens are basically, and you know, the billionaires are like, oh yeah, everyone else is going to die, so we need to build this ark. Like,
yes.
You know, they're all dead. So both sides have basically already decided that there's no hope, and that's just making things worse because it's making them, you know, it's making them decide that, well, the only option we have now is more violence because there's nothing else we can do.
Is it weird to be excited about this like series ending just so I can go back and watch episode zero and understand what's going on?
No, no, I was just thinking that when we started this conversation, I was like, we have to remember that at some point we're going to have to go check out episode zero because that's really going to, you know, provide. I'm going to be so curious if we go back and watch it and maybe think, oh, like that would have actually been kind of an interesting way to start the show.
It'll be fun to see what that is. I feel like the few screenshots I saw from episode zero also involved the beach. So I'm wondering if it could potentially be like the timeline we're in now when the investigator came down and the other two girls dealing with him and stuff at what went down. I don't know.
I wouldn't be surprised if maybe it's one of those things where if you know the manga or you've seen the movies, the spoilers seem super egregious. But if you're just going into it fresh, it might have been one of those things where it's like, I don't know what any of that meant. And only now, like 13 weeks in, would we be like, oh, wait.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll have to see.
Yeah. Yeah, excited to continue following this show. All right, everybody, I think that about wraps us up for this week. Next week, I might be here. I'm actually taking time off as soon after Anime NYC. And
how dare you? What are you trying to do? Spend time with your loved ones?
Read a book?
Yeah.
Do some hobbies during the daytime hours?
Develop
Read Octopath Traveler 2? I don't know. Actually,
that's genuine mental health care is being.
Yeah. Oh, I played so many hours of that over the weekend.
I need to play it.
And I'm one of those completionists. So for me, I'm like, I have to do all of.
I'm the same way.
All the that's things. All the little things, hopping around, doing all the things.
So I'm replaying Dragon Age 2, and it's like, I guess I'll do all these side quests, even though half of them aren't even that fun. But it's like, I gotta do them all.
gotta do all of them. Yeah, and Octopath Traveler 2. It's one of those things where each chapter isn't super long per character, so you do one, you're like, oh, that was great. I can do like one more.
Oh God, I can't play that game. It's gonna.
I can do like one more.
Oh no!
And then you're like, oh God, it's been 4 hours. What am I doing?
That is like my crack. I can't do it.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Open world games that have that stuff, like, they're bad for me. It's bad. But anyway, you guys, we should be back next Tuesday, the 27th, at the regular old time. I'll make an exception for the podcast. It's not, this is barely work, this is just fun. So
yeah.
All right, so we'll see you guys all next week. Thanks for joining us. Bye
bye.